Greetings and welcome to our study on 2 Timothy. We're in chapter 4. This chapter rapidly is coming to the close of this last book that Paul wrote to Timothy. And it was kind of laid out in chapter 1 with Paul's encouragement for Timothy to abide in the sound doctrine and the word of God. In chapter 2, he focuses more on teaching. It's not enough just to know it and to abide in it, but to also share it, to teach. In chapter 3, the focus was on the live it. Don't just teach it, but also exemplify with your life what that teaching is. He turns in chapter 4 with another suggestion or request, a charge. And it's a little bit different and is not as directly applicable to everyone. There are some parts of the scripture that have very direct applications that we can make for our own lives. And then there are some parts of the scripture that the best we can do is make some indirect applications. When I'm faced with passages about, let's say, women or wives, mothers, it's more of an indirect application that I can make than a direct application in that I'm not a wife or a mother. Well, this part of the Bible is really focused, at least for these few verses, toward preachers, if you will. And though you may not be a preacher, there are some indirect applications I'm sure you can make. But we're going to look at the scriptures and what they say, what Paul is saying, and then we will work on those applications in our discussion. The role that Paul has with Timothy is one of a mentor. Paul met and converted Timothy on his first missionary journey. By his third missionary journey, Timothy had become an important asset for Paul. And then now that Paul has completed what I believe was his fourth missionary journey to Spain, now imprisoned. He is preparing Timothy to take over the role that Paul had kind of been playing. And part of that is a change that's going on. The offices that the Bible talks about that the church had early on included apostles and prophets. Apostles were those followers of Jesus, Paul, one added later, whose role was to be ambassadors of Christ and to share the gospel and to fulfill the responsibility of establishing the church. Prophets were those who had special spiritual gifts to tell truth, proclaim truth, and they were the two key ingredients in getting God's truth to the lost, especially those who didn't get to hear Jesus when Jesus taught his truth. And so Paul is now turning to Timothy and saying that the role of apostles is going to be coming to a close soon. Paul's certainly is. And there'll be a point in time when the prophets will also cease. There'll be no more prophets to lay on hands to, no more apostles to lay on hands of, to make other people prophets. And so the role of leading the church will fall to the other offices, the office of pastor, teacher, the office or preacher, the office of elder that Paul was asked Timothy to go and establish at all the churches that he was going to, and then the office of deacon. And those three offices would then serve as the leadership of the church after the apostles and prophets had ceased. Paul's role with Timothy of one of a mentor is a reminder to me of my decision to become a preacher. And a lot of it was based on the mentoring that came when I was in the School of Biblical Studies. Terry Blake was one of our primary teachers. He was there at the school all the time. We saw him. I saw him many evenings. I'd eat at his house. I saw him on Sundays at church. I would go visit him on the weekends as I prepared to go fill in for places. And Terry would teach me. He would demonstrate. He would advise. It was a form of mentor. And I've had many mentors. I can recall many different men who have filled a role of mentoring me in my growth as a minister. And Paul here is encouraging Timothy, who was his child, to be prepared for what's coming. And this is the close of this last book that Paul's writing. And it reminds me of Jesus walking to the garden with the apostles. I really want to get across to you some things. And so Paul here turns to Timothy and says, listen, I really need you to get this. And he sends in verse 1, in the presence of God and of Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus. It's like Paul saying, there's this intimate gathering. There's you and me, Timothy, and God the Father and God the Son. I'm sure to God the Holy Spirit. And I want, it's a gathering, a very intimate gathering for me to remind you of what's important. And we're surrounded by the Father and the Son. And it's this, and it's the Son, Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead. It's, there's an importance here. It's important that we do these things right, because there is a judge. And in view of his appearing and kingdom, there is a time that Jesus comes again. And when that happens, there is no more opportunity. Everything's done. And it's about the kingdom. Paul is really interested in the growth of the kingdom. And so he's saying, listen, you need to listen to this, because the kingdom is dependent upon what I'm about to tell you. And he says, in all of that, I give you this charge. This is what I need to get across to you. This is that last thing I need to tell you. Verse 2, preach the word. The word there, preach, is adequate. The word literally means herald. Herald the truth. The idea is of someone who is going out on behalf of someone else. And his role is to proclaim or herald on behalf of the one he's there for, something that is he wants said. And so he says, Timothy, you are God's herald, the word, the truth that God has expressed, that the God breathed scripture is now your responsibility to herald. It's not about you as a minister. It's about the truth that you're sharing. The emphasis here is on the word. And he says, you need to be that herald. Herald the truth. Preach the word. This message to preach is really multifaceted. Every time someone steps into a pulpit and takes the role of a preacher, has to be conscious of the fact that his responsibility is to proclaim and herald the truth of God, not the things that I feel, not things that I want. In fact, many times we're called to herald things that we may not like or even wish were true, but they are true, and we have to handle this truth. We may not want a direction that God has gone, but it's still God's direction, and it's our responsibility to proclaim and herald that truth, whatever it is. Not everybody that fills the pulpit is a called minister. And there are times when people fill in and preach a sermon. But really, he's really focused here on the evangelists, or if you will, those that fill that role. And I've come to understand that it's a combination of ability and talent and skill with a calling. Some people are called to be ministers, may not have a great deal of ability to preach, herald the word. Some people have a great ability to herald the word, but have never been called to preach. That calling comes from a church. It's not something you claim. It's something that's given. You can demonstrate your abilities. You can demonstrate your interests. You can demonstrate. But until the church calls you, you've not been given that role of a preacher, of that role that we commonly view of as preacher or evangelist in today's church. And so he says, you need to preach the word. That is your charge. And of all the things that Paul could have told Timothy to focus on, that's the one that he focused on. You need to preach the word. You need to make sure that you're sharing and proclaiming the gospel is something that is not overlooked and not missed. He says, be prepared in season and out of season. Commonly, that's considered do it when it's convenient, not convenient. Do it when it's popular and not popular. Do it when it's easy and not easy. Do it at all different times. But in the context of this passage, it really is more about the hearers. Be prepared to share, whether it's something that's anticipated, desired, wanted, or something that's rejected and not wanted. You need to be prepared to teach and preach the gospel when someone is a seeker. They really want to know. They've come looking for truth. And when you run into people who are rejectors of the truth, to be prepared to share truth even with those who want to go away from what it is that God would teach. Be prepared in season and out of season. And he says to correct, rebuke, and encourage. It's interesting here that Paul seems to give a bit of a negative connotation, if you will, to what is being done. He says to correct or to reprove or to convict. The reality is that sin has got to be revealed for someone to know that they need to become a Christian. And sin has to be revealed for someone to understand that as a Christian, they're not living right. So whether you're in that role of evangelist where you're focusing on unsaved people, or you're in that role of a pastor where your focus is on saved people, the idea of correcting, of proclaiming, if you will, the truth that convicts of sin is vital. The Bible says that the word of God is the sword of the Spirit. And Paul in Ephesians 6 says, take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. It means that the Spirit, whose job is to convict of sin, has to have the sword, the truth, out there in order to do that. And so it's the preacher's role to get that truth into the minds and ears of people. Not that the preacher's job is to convert or to convict, but he gets the truth out so the Spirit can use that word to convert or to convict. And so he says you need to correct. Secondly, you need to rebuke. Part of the process of correcting sinners is rebuking lifestyle. When people don't understand truth or have rejected truth, they live falsely. They live wrongly. And part of the role of the preacher is to point out not just the idea of what sin is, but the reality of what sin looks like in your life. And so there's a aspect of rebuking when sin is seen, to share that rebuke. The third word is to encourage or to admonish. And the idea here is that this is an effort by the preacher, by the evangelist, to move people in a proper direction. Maybe they're not doing something wrong, but they're not yet doing what's right. And so the correcting and rebuking really focus on pointing out what's wrong and needs to be removed from a life. And here he's talking about encouraging or admonishing, prodding, pushing people toward doing what's right. And so there's two roles that preaching involves. That's that correction and rebuking. And then there's that admonishing and encouraging. And so that's the role of preaching. And he says to do it with great patience and careful instruction. That's the modifier, if you will. Great patience or long suffering is something that is very prominent in what Christians are told to have. Great patience and long suffering and endurance. in this context, it's the role of the preacher to demonstrate his desire to proclaim truth, to herald the truth, and to do so with great patience, knowing that it's not always easily accepted, knowing that it isn't always caught the first time, knowing it's not always understood or desired or wanted, knowing that it doesn't always cut through the first time. It doesn't always get in where it needs to get in when you want it to. And so you continue to teach, correct, and rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. And that really is the key to ministry, this careful instruction. It's the role of the preacher to be trained and to train himself and to work and to study and to prepare to be effective in carefully instructing, getting the truth out. It's not enough to just throw it out there. It's not enough to just give the results. It's not enough to say, this is what I believe, and so you need to believe. But careful instruction, why I've come to this understanding, what the Bible actually says. Every aspect of Scripture, maybe all the Scriptures that might have some connotation or aspect to the topic that need to be explained or to fit in. And that's why it's so important for the preacher to carefully and routinely spend time preparing so that he can carefully instruct. It's this role of proclaiming, heralding the truth with this encouragement to correct and rebuke and encourage patiently and carefully that really identifies this job that Paul has called Timothy to as an evangelist. The rest of this chapter will explain why, or this passage, and we'll get to that in our next lesson. And so until then, I hope that you have a great day, and I look forward to the next time we're together.